want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm reading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading your name.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are honored to be here with you today, and we're happy that you were able to tune in. And we hope that the things that we say to you today will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. So if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to give us a call right now. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. Now, today we want to talk a little bit about prayer. You know, the Bible says a great deal about prayer. And that most of us, because of the hurdles that we face, because of the difficulties of life, find ourselves perhaps in prayer a lot. But what do we really know about prayer? Well, to find the answer, we have to go to God's Word for that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And thus we have this command to pray continually and constantly. But what are some of the other things that God says concerning prayer? You know, how long should I pray, or how often should I pray, and when will God answer my prayer? All these types of questions can be answered when we go to God's Word to see the examples that He has set forth. If you are interested today, again, in learning more about prayer, we hope that you will stay tuned with us. If you have a question on your heart and you're seeking, again, an answer to that question, don't hesitate to call in with that question. We'll be more than happy to start our discussion and answer your question. Again, that number to call is 308-9564. If you have a question, you can call right now, 308-9564.
We are so glad that you have taken out your Sunday afternoon and a portion of it anyway to tune in to Let the Bible Speak. Again, those lines are available. This is a live broadcast, and we have two lines just waiting on you to call in your question. There we go. There's one, and if you have a question, go ahead and call in right now. We'll be glad to take your question either live over the air, or it can be written down and brought into us. It is your choice. 308-9564 is the number here, and we are more than happy to look to God's Word for the answers that are on your heart and mind. Prayer is our subject matter today. There will be some things that you may have already heard before, but that there are some things in the Bible that you may have never heard before. And so as we look to see what the Bible has to say rather than what man has to say, then we will let the Bible speak to this question. And that, and hopefully it is something that is on your mind and very, very dear to you. You know, I've noticed, Nick, that a lot of people pray. I have even known of people that do not believe in God that pray. Matter of fact, I have read books written by atheists that still pray. And they use prayer for medicinal reasons. Matter of fact, if any of you have been sick and you have talked to your doctor about it, he may even recommend that you pray about that. And the reason is there are medicinal blessings good things to come from praying. Because of our attitude, our mind, and heart, they have a good reaction upon our body if we have hope. And so certainly prayer has that factor to it. But enough of that. There's more to it than that in the Bible. And we'll be able to see that there are many other reasons and reasons not to pray. And so let me give you one, if you will jot down, if you're taking notes. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2, we see that God there is described this way. It says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." And the idea of salvation is not out of reach. God can save anyone. His hand is not too short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So certainly God can hear if he chose to hear. And so that is something to let us know right off the bat. This is not, what we're about to see, is not God's fault. Verse 2, though, says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Oh, did that say what I just thought it said? It said, "so that he will not hear." Now, he could hear if he chose to, but because of God's holiness, he cannot be in the presence or in fellowship with someone that is transgressed and has hidden their face. They have turned away from God. And so it says that God will not hear that prayer. And, you know, I hear so often, and I read about it, and many Bible studies during the week, I hear people say that I prayed for salvation, and I got up off of my knees and was saved. I said this sinner's prayer. Now, where is that in the Bible, the idea of the sinner's prayer? Well, many times when I ask people that question, they'll go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, where it talks about belief and confession bringing salvation. And it says how that with the mouth one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One believes unto salvation, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there it brings out that is leading unto, but it doesn't put you into salvation. That does not fix the problem, in other words. We're still in our sins, even though we may believe, and we may confess our belief. May I remind you how the demons responded when Jesus came in their presence? They said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." There is a confession of belief. And that did not save those demons, nor will it save individuals today. It does not take away the sin. It does not repair the damage that our sin has caused. May I remind you the end of that verse 2 again? "And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." So what do you think about that? Is that what you've heard before? That may be shocking to some, but that's what Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2 says. You can call us right now and call in your question. The number is 308-9564. The lines are available now, and you can go ahead and jump in with your question right now, 308-9564. Nick, do we have a question?
Yes, this call comes in from Lucinda from North Charleston. We thank you for joining us today. Lucinda says, in these times of bad economy, how do you encourage others that God will provide? Well, Lucinda, that's a good question for us, a good question for everyone. Now, how can we collectively be encouraged that God will provide? But one way was what we have is the Scriptures. What we see in the pages of the Scriptures is that God has done this before. That is to say, in the darkest hours and when time seems like it's at its worst, God would rise to the occasion to provide for his children. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, if you go back and you read up a little bit further in the text, what you'll find is what God is promising there is food and clothing, right? That's what he promises them. And again, we see how God has provided those things. Picking up in verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That's how we know. We see how that God has made the promise, and he has fulfilled that promise. And again, we have examples in the scriptures where God has delivered and saved those in difficult times, those who were in need. God did not forsake them. God did not leave them, but rather God was there. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, in Hebrews chapter 13, picking up in verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." Again, Lucinda, the point here, God is there, but he is there for those who are going to seek him first. To join us right now in our discussion, you can call 308-9564, 308-9564. It's time for us to take our first break. But again, you can call even while we are at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Okay, we're back live again. Again, you can go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. The lines are available, 308-9564. This is a live broadcast, and you can call in your Bible question, and we will look to the Bible for the answer. We started the broadcast talking about prayer today. That is something that's near and dear to most of the population, no doubt, that is listening today. And yet, we've already noted in one passage that there are some strange things in the Bible that are not commonly taught as normally taught in Bible teaching. And Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 was one of those such passages. But there's a lot of passages that are so comforting and helpful to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we are to pray without ceasing. Colossians 4 and verse 2, he tells us to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4, you might notice it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Now, all three of these passages mention something that's in common, that our prayers should include thanksgiving. Sometimes we look at prayer and we think of prayer as only give me, give me, give me, and thanking him for very little. And yet that is something that the Bible is very adamant about, and that is that when we pray, that we should be people that know how to thank him for what he has done and what he continues to do. Matter of fact, that should be a dominant characteristic of our prayer, unless it would be praise. Praise would be even more important than or up there with thanksgiving, to give honor to the one whom we are addressing, which is, mind you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who created all things by the power of his word. He spoke this universe into existence, and we have access to him when we are in Christ. And Jesus becomes our mediator, and we can pray to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so certainly we should be praising him, and that should be part of our communication with him, just as certain as we would praise a dignitary in some way, as we would begin to address him, we certainly should be praising the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so that is one thing that we should be doing at the positive side of our prayer. That is praising him, and that would be giving him praise for that which has nothing to do with us. He is this way regardless of what he has done or what he continues to do. Those are the praiseworthy items. And so praise is part of our prayer. We should be thanking him as well. Nick, you have a question?
I do. Before I read the question, I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call in right now and get your questions answered if you have a question on your heart. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. Stacy calls in this question today. She says, do you think that many do not turn to God because of their shame and they cannot accept themselves? And she was listening to the passage that you read earlier, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. So it was based upon that passage. Well, Stacy, good question for us. But when we go to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we see that, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. And so Ricky read that passage earlier. But now the next verse, verse 3, shows us what was the problem with these folks. He says in verse 3, he says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have murdered perversity. No one calls for justice. No one, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. And the text continues. My point is, perhaps in this particular case, in Isaiah 59, maybe their motivation was not because they were ashamed. These were folks that seemed to be wrapped up in sin. But to answer your question, is it possible for a person to be so ashamed of their sin that they are fearful in approaching God? Well, yes, it can be that we would be shameful. But the Bible shows us that when we are so hurt spiritually by our sins, that's what should motivate us to go to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, the Bible speaks about a godly sorrow and how that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so I have to have a godly sorrow. I have to be sorry towards God so that motivates me to go and to repent. Shame, should there be shame in my sin? Absolutely. When David approached God because of his sin, he had shame. In Psalms, the 51st chapter, we hear David making this appeal to God. Psalms 51, I'm just going to read the first few verses. In verse 1, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. He says, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity or wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. He continues on. If you keep reading that text, what you'll find is that here's a person that was hurting because of their sins. Here's a person that had shame. We should have shame when we sin. But that shame should be the motivator, that sorrow, that godly sorrow, should be the motivator that causes us to repent of our sins, to make things right in God's sight. It's time for us to take another break. Again, appreciate the question. Hopefully this is helpful to you. Again, those of you who are listening, or those of you who just joined us, you are listening to a live radio broadcast, Let the Bible Speak, where we seek to answer the question that may be on your heart. If you have a question, go ahead and call while we're at break. That number is 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are serious about the material that we send to you. That is a comprehensive Bible correspondence course, and we were more than happy to send that to you. And we're serious about it being free as well. We've had actually people offer to support and give money, and that is just not the purpose of this program. It is our honor to serve you and to give you the treasure containing God's Word. And so this is maintained and supported by the saints that meet in the Goose Creek area and in the local flock there, and we are more than happy to serve you God's Word, the bread of life. And to that end, that is our joy to be able to do that. And we're eager to serve you in that capacity. So please go ahead and avail yourself of that correspondence course. That number again is 553-5157. And go ahead and call during this hour. And there's a live operator standing by. And we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. Again, the number here at the station is 308-9564 for your question to be answered over the station, over the program today. And this is a live broadcast, so you can go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to take your question, and we will look to the Bible for the answer. We have Ben calling in from James Island today. Ben, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening this afternoon. We hope and pray that this broadcast is a blessing to you. His question is based upon Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, where it says, starting with verse 1, it says, "In that day," and then it goes on, "in that day the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in." Verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." And so in verse 3, his question is, what does this mean, that he will keep us in perfect peace? Well, that is a very good question, one that would be obviously of confusion today if people are trying to apply this to present-day events, because, of course, there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of problems. And being a better passage would be Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, that does absolutely apply to us about peace. But just trying to answer your question here based upon this, this is dealing with how that when the Christians come back to the land of Judah, back to Jerusalem, that God will be taking care of them, and he will give them that peace that they longed for, because right then when Isaiah wrote this, they were in great turmoil, and the politics was bad, everything was going bad, and he's warning them that they need to straighten up and fly right. But yet at the same time, he knows that eventually they're going to be taken off into bondage, and that, in fact, did happen. And then in the day when God brings them back, he says that he will keep you in perfect peace and whose mind is stayed on you. Now, the principle here is certainly still true, and that is, if we trust in the Lord, as verse 4 says, then that is a dwelling place of peace. And matter of fact, if we want to even apply this to the Messianic kingdom that we're part of right now, then it's supposed to be a kingdom of peace, and Jesus is actually referred to as the Prince of Peace. Now, I don't think this passage is referring to that. However, the fact of the matter is, when we serve the Lord in his kingdom today, it is to be an existence, a dwelling place of peace, and God's people are to be people of peace, because Jesus is the Prince over us. Now, that passage I mentioned that would be more applicable and helpful to today in today's society is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And I won't take the time to read that right now, but I would encourage you to read that, and not only read it, but also to even memorize it, and you will be amazed at what a peace and a benefit it will be to you. It starts off with "Rejoice in the Lord," and then verse 8 tells us how we are to think and what we're supposed to be meditating on, what we're supposed to be dwelling on, and he goes into specifics there. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Ben, thank you so much for listening today, and I hope this has been helpful to you as we let the Bible speak. Certainly, God's Word is the only thing that will give us the life that we long for and truly the peace that will last forever. And so that's what we're committed to look to God's Word for those answers. The number here, 308-9564. Thank you again, Ben, for listening this afternoon. You can call right now your question, 308-9564, and this will be where you can ask your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. The lines are available right now. Go ahead and call before we back up and run out of time. 308-9564.
You remember earlier we mentioned again there is some free material that if you're interested in Bible Correspondence Course, if you have questions that you would like answered but it requires more material, we're happy to send that material to you free of charge. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. 553-5157. Call the operator standing by. We'll be more than happy to get that material to you. Again, 553-5157. Today we've been talking about this idea of prayer, and what we're discovering along the way is that maybe there's some things that the Bible teach that we're not familiar with. Who would believe that the Bible would show how that God would close his ears to some people's prayer? Well, clearly from Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, because of sin, because of iniquity, God would close his ear to prayer. We find over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up in verse 10, the Bible says, "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and from good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And so clearly the Bible shows us that the person who's engaged in sin, walking in sin, living in sin, guilty of wickedness, God is not hearing their prayers. Is that surprising to you? But the Bible says it. And so what we should be interested in is what kind of prayers is God going to hear? And so Jesus would give his disciples some instructions over in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives his disciples some instruction concerning prayer. Picking up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward." So here are some folks that are praying to be seen. And so God says, don't pray that way. Don't pray just to be seen. So again, a person who goes about to pray out of pride will not be heard. And thus, we ought to keep our prayers private. If you'd like to join us in our discussion right now, you can. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. We're going to take another break here. But again, while we're at break, you can go ahead and call us right now. That's 308-9564. The lines are open. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. 5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we've been talking about the idea of prayer and how that prayer is something that we all need, and how that, you know, it may be that when we think about prayer, there may be some things that God says that we're not aware of. We've been looking in Matthew the sixth chapter, and I just read verse 5. It tells us how to pray. Well, there's more to that text. Before I continue reading, I want to go ahead and encourage our listeners to go ahead and call us right now. If you have a question and you're seeking a Bible answer, don't mind. We don't mind if you interrupt our discussion. We're happy to answer your question. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus continues to tell his disciples how to pray. He says in verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Again, this idea that prayer was supposed to be private. Prayer was supposed to come from a heart that is humble, lowly, it should not be done for show. And verse 7, he says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." You ever been in a place where, you know, the prayer just seems to go on forever? And there may be nothing wrong with that if that is a sincere and honest prayer. So sometimes folks just talk just to hear themselves. And here, that's what's being condemned. Just praying for the sake of praying, many words, vain prayer. And so he says, don't pray that way. And then in verse 8, he says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." And then he says in verse 9, "In this manner pray." And he goes and he gives what we know as the Our Father prayer, and he tells them how to pray. If you want to join us right now, you can. That number to call is 308-9564.
We have a caller, actually, a card that I just noticed in my Bible that was left over from last week, and so apologize for taking us long to get to it. But this was a caller from last week's program. If you remember, we were talking about things that are politically correct but biblically wrong, and the focus ended up upon sexual sins such as homosexuality and such. And this caller called in this question in last week's program, saying that the husband and the wife have sexual problems. The husband actually watches porn video, and so it asks, does the Bible address this? Well, let me answer by specifically answering, saying, well, no, it does not mention porn videos because they didn't have videos back then. But did they have erotica, and that is those fleshly lustful things that they could lust after? And the answer to that is absolutely. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, it says, "But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart." And then he ends up saying, the very next verse, "If your right eye offends you, if you sin with your eyes, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it's better or more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body should be cast into hell." Showing the gravity, the weight of such a sin as that, no matter if it is sexual sins or the love of money, we need to make certain that we do not let our bodies rule toward sin. And so that is something that is obviously a selfish focus, self-gratification, the idea of sexual appetite being, instead of being guarded and making certain they're disciplined, they are actually becoming more disciplined. And I would dare say that the eventual end of that will be met with the greatest of tragedy, because the husband and wife have no longer are committed to each other. And so, yes, I would say that that is absolutely addressed in the Bible, and it is addressed as wrong. All of this list of sexual sins, or all of the list of sins that are in the New Testament, just about every one of them, address the idea of fornication, and that would be included in this as well. And so there's only one place that the sexual appetite can be filled, and that is between a rightly married husband and wife to each other. And so that is the only place that that kind of exercise is proper, and it is pure, and it is actually talked of in the Bible as a good thing. in Hebrews chapter 13, let the marriage bed be undefiled. And so we need to allow His Word to show us what is right in this. And so thank you so much. I hope you were tuned in from last week and that was helpful to you. Again, that passage was Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. The number here, 308-9564. The lines are now available, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Nick, you have another one?
Yes, this call comes in from Charleston. The question is, how do you get God to hear you if He can't hear your prayers? How do we get God to hear me? How do I get God to hear me if He can't hear my prayer? A good question, and it fits right in with our discussion
today. That is a good question.
How do I get God to hear me? Well, what we've established from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, is that sin separates man from God. And when we looked earlier in 1 Peter there, we established that God didn't hear their prayers, 1 Peter 3, verse 12, because, again, evilness and wickedness. And so the first thing I have to do is put those things off, the works of evil and wickedness and sin. I have to put that off from me.
Doesn't that mean repent?
Yes, that absolutely does mean repent of those sins. And then I must seek God out of a sincere heart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open." And so I have to seek God out of sincere, out of a pure heart. Again, putting away my sins. As Ricky mentioned earlier, this idea of repentance. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 talks about repentance. And so I have to put those things off from among my members or my body, and then I seek God out of a pure heart, and He will hear. We have an example in Acts the 10th chapter where God did hear someone, and this person hadn't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. This person wasn't saved, and yet God did hear his prayer. But this was a person that was sincere. This is a person that was pure in heart. In Acts the 10th chapter, it talks about a man by the name of Cornelius. The Bible says in verse 2, he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So here's a man that was spiritually minded. Here's a man that was religious, yet God chose to hear his prayers before he was saved. And why did God hear him? Because here's a man that was seeking God. And we know he wasn't saved. Once we can read that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. In Acts 11, verse 14, he was told to send for Peter so that he could hear words whereby he and his house could be saved. And so we know that he wasn't saved when God heard him. But again, he was sincere. He was honest. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wanting to add to that in verse 4, the way it actually describes his God becoming aware of him seeking, it says in verse 4 that his prayers had come up before God as a memorial before God. And when you look at that word memorial, it literally has the idea of a record, a memorial, a reminder. So somehow God was made aware of this man who was such a devout a seeker of God. And so, yeah, when God promises, Matthew 7:7, seek and you will find. Yes, God will make certain that they do find. And God was made aware that he was seeking, and thus providence was laid down to make certain that he did find God. And so when we seek God, that we will find. But the idea of him having God's ear, I don't think that's really suggested here. He was made aware, a record. Somehow God was reminded, is the literal meaning of that word here, that this man is seeking after him.
Yeah, the idea came up as a remembrance to God. Yeah, absolutely. And so if we seek God first, if we, again, prepare ourselves to put off sin, we prepare ourselves to seek him out of a pure and honest heart, then he will hear us as we seek him, Matthew 7, verse 7. Again, now, we can't dictate to God how he's going to answer our prayers.
Question, when does that actually occur? When does the avenue occur where we actually have his ear and that we can know without a doubt he hears our every petition?
When I obey him, when I become one of his, when I become all the spiritual blessings that God has to offer exist in one place. And so I can't get blessings outside of one location. I must be in Christ. And so I must do those things that will place me in Christ. Now, how do we know all those spiritual blessings are in Christ? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, and if you have time, just read that entire chapter, and you'll see that all of the blessings that God have to offer exist in one place. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And that text just go on, and you'll see over and over again, it'll show you that all these blessings God has in Christ. And so where must I be so that God will hear my prayer? I must be in Christ. And so that requires me to repent of my sins and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'd like more information on that, you know, what does it require for me to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Go ahead and call the operator standing by, and we'll get that information to you. That number to call is 553-5157. 553-5157. We're going to take another break right here, but go ahead and, if you like, call us even while we're at break. If you have a question that's on your mind, if you have a comment, go ahead and give us a call. 308-9564. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live again. I believe we have a caller wanting to ask her question live. Is Stacy, I believe it is. Are you there? Stacy, are you on the line? Hold on. We're trying to get you on the speaker. Okay, are you there? Stacy, one more time. Let's try to... Okay, are you there?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay, glad to have you. How can we help you?
I had a comment or a response to what you were just stating.
Yes.
Before the break. At Sunday school, it came about around the same topic. And the way that he broke it down, which has always stuck with me, was just like, I think a parent, another child could ask you for
Are you there?
Obligated okay. to
go ahead.
That child. You're only obligated to your child. So you hear your child, and you are more willing to take their request. So I look at that as like a sinner and someone saved. Mm-hmm. We are Jesus' child, God's children. So he hears our request above somebody else's child.
Yeah, well, that's one way to look at this. I would have to think about that and try to sort that through a number of verses. I know certainly we are God's special children. He brings that out very clearly. Ephesians chapter 1, that we're adopted, that we're redeemed, that we have predestined and chosen and many other blessings that he brings out there. And so that certainly does make us special. From that standpoint, that we are his holy children but you know, all of those blessings are absolutely have nothing to do with us. They have everything to do with him. And so really, there's no merits on our part that would cause him to listen to us, other than that he has bestowed righteousness upon us when he redeemed us by his blood. And that's what, and so it really comes down to all his favor is given to us because we're just willing to do what he asks of us. But let me think about that and study on that, and I will try to address that at another time.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for calling today, Stacy.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that's an interesting idea. I'll have to study on that myself. Well, Nick, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I actually agree. The idea that there are those that belong to the Lord, and those that belong to the Lord hears. And those that don't belong to the Lord does not hear. And those who belong to the Lord are considered his children.
But it's not any merit to us.
No, I don't think he's hearing us because I'm his children, he's hearing me. But it's like you said, I absolutely agree that it is him. He's doing it according to his will. This is one of the blessings that he provided for those who would obey him. But I understand, I think, where Stacy was going. The idea is you're his. And so he's looking out for you. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, it talks about us being servants and the idea that we are somebody's servant. And in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. And so here you have kind of two, I guess, a scenario of two different people you can report to. Or you could be a slave of sin, in which case you would be a child of Satan. Or you can be a slave of righteousness, in which case you would be a child of God. And because I have obeyed God and I have become a slave of righteousness, then I can receive those blessings that he's promised.
Yeah, very good thoughts. I'm glad that Stacy called and shared that with us. And hope you will listen each week. And what we have here, we have a couple of questions. We do have some time. If you want to go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. The lines are available now. Tina, hold on. We're going to get to your question in just a minute. I believe we have another question.
Yeah, this call comes in from Julius. He says, can we pray directly to God without going through Christ? And this is a fairly easy one to answer. Turn to John, the 14th chapter, and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Here Jesus makes it clear that he has to be the one that we all go through in order to get to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. And so I can't get to the Father unless I go through Christ. And now as I'm talking, my mind is reminded of another passage where Jesus tells his disciples, anything you ask in my name, the Father will hear. But again, God has made Jesus the one that we have to go through to reach him. John 14, verse 6 was the passage I used. If you'd like to join us right now in our discussion, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564.
There's another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where it brings out that there is one mediator between God and man, and that would be Jesus Christ. That's 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And again, the number here is live. You can call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. We have Tina calling in this afternoon. Tina, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening this afternoon. She lives in the Somerville area. And her question is, where in the Bible does it say it is a sin to gamble? Where it says it is a sin to gamble. Well, Tina, the actual answer to that question is nowhere. It is not in the Bible at all. But now, does the Bible condemn it? Well, by principle, yes, because the Lord would have us to flee all kind of idolatry. And many times, if not most of the time, gambling or the lottery or however many different flavors it may come into, it is upon an idea of a heart that is idolatrous through covetousness. They're wanting things that belong to someone else, and usually with gambling, that is exactly what the case is, and you're trying to win at the stake of causing someone else to lose, and the Lord warns us against that very, very clearly. And so we should set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. And we should flee all those things that would interfere with our serving of the Lord and put away such things as that. Colossians chapter 3 and verses, the first few verses there clearly bring that out. And we should put away covetousness, which is idolatry. That's verse 5. And so, Tina, yeah, that by principle, then that makes that wrong. Now, the Bible does go tell us how that we are to get increase, and we are to work with our hands that which is good that we may have to give to those that are in need, which is the exact opposite of what many times is on the mind and heart of someone that gambles. They're trying to do shortcuts so they don't have to work so that they can have for themselves. And so the exact opposite of that is expressed in Ephesians chapter 4, where he tells us to let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to those that are in need. You see the exact opposite there? And so that would make gambling, from that standpoint, the exact opposite of what the Lord intends for us to have. The Bible does go ahead through story form and also condone inheritance as one increase. Interest, or putting your money to the money changers for interest, and that would be also, and then also the idea of running a business is also condoned in the Bible as well. And so those are other forms of increase, but none of those have any resemblance to gambling whatsoever. So, Tina, I hope that helps a little bit. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 also tells us that we are to, that the man is supposed to provide for his own. And the way he is to do that is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 20. Well, just the last half of the chapter would be great to use, but the specific verse I quoted a minute ago was verse 29, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Thanks, Tina, for listening, and thank you for calling in. And we hope and pray that anybody else that had that question on your heart, that may have been of some help to you. We have about 9 minutes left, so we do want you to know you can call in right now. Please go ahead and call in before we run out of time. 308-9564 is the number. Or you can call the operator standing by, and we will be more than happy to send the Bible correspondence course that we send to people. And we've also mentioned here a special a study concerning what must I do to be in Christ. And we'll be glad to send that to you too as well. So go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. And we'll be glad to send that information to you free of charge. What must I do to be in Christ so God will hear my prayer? Please, you do not want to miss that information, so make certain that you call for it. 553-5157, and we will let the Bible be open plainly to in your heart so that you can know how to be in Christ, and you will have God's ear. And Jesus will be your mediator. 553-5157. Call that number right now while the program is on, and this operator will take your information and we'll send that to you free of charge. That's one more time, 553-5157.
If you'd like to join us right now, while there's still a few minutes left, if you'd like to join us in the broadcast, you have a question, please go ahead and call and get that question in. That's 308-9564, 308-9564. Call us right now. We've been talking today about prayer. We've learned a few things that, well, God doesn't always hear everybody's prayer. If there's sin, if I'm in sin, if I'm outside of Christ, it may be that God is not hearing my prayer unless I'm actually trying to seek Him. I'm trying to find Him. I'm trying to get right with Him so I can do what I need to do to obey Him. Also, when we pray, the Bible told us to go into a closet, and so I should not be doing it to be a spectacle. I shouldn't be doing it so people can see me. There should be humility in my heart as I offer prayers to God. Another thought might be this idea of being persistent in prayer. God wants us to pray without ceasing. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Another passage along that line is Luke 18 and verse 1, where Jesus spoke a parable, the Bible says, to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, and not to faint. And so they should continue to pray. And so, again, this idea of persistence, we see an example of this persistency by Jesus in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 41 through 43, where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane went to his Father on three occasions. Each time he says, "Yet not my will, but thy will be done." And again, we might be persistent in prayer, and it may be that God doesn't answer our prayer the way I want him to answer my prayer. But he will answer it the way that it needs to be answered. I believe we have another question.
Yes, we have Thomas calling in this afternoon. Thanks again, Thomas, for joining us and for your studying with us in God's Word. He asked this question, how is the stock market not gambling? Well, you remember, Thomas, a minute ago I mentioned that owning a business would be also condoned in the Scripture. We have Lydia that owned her business and that she would travel around and sell purple, and that was her business, and obviously that was something that was condoned, as well as Paul had his own business. He was a tent maker. So the stock market would be owning a business. Kind of a humorous story. One time, this man got on the airplane of some particular airline, and as he got on, he was talking to someone as he got on, saying that he was the owner. He was an owner of, we'll just say, Delta. And so as the stewardess heard him overheard him saying that, they started talking among themselves. The owner of Delta is on here. And so they started giving him the VIP treatment. And so toward the end of the flight, they came up to him. They asked him, they said, we understand that you are one of the owners of Delta. He said, yeah, I bought 10 shares of stock here just last week. They nearly died because they had given him the VIP treatment the whole time. And that's what that means. Whenever you buy stock in a company, you actually are becoming part of the owner of that company. And if that business prospers, then you are prospering with it. If that business fails or has failure, then you actually fail with it. It's not a matter of gambling at all from the standpoint of you are causing people to lose at your winning. It is a matter of everybody winning and everybody losing because you own that business and you're a partial owner of it. And so I hope that helps, Thomas, and we appreciate your calling. He calls in today from Ladson. And so, again, the number here is 308-9564, and you may be able to get your question in. And if we can't answer it today, we will begin next week with it. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564.
Today we've been talking about prayer. And the value of prayer. There is a value to prayer. God wants his people to make an appeal to him, but especially those who are outside, believe it or not. Those who are lost in sin, God wants to hear from you. You should be praying that God would send someone to show you his message and reveal his word that you might obey. God's intent is that everyone would be saved. He has no desire that any would lose their soul, but rather that all would come unto repentance. This is God's desire. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So God wants you to have a change of heart, which would lead to a change of life. Pray that he'll send someone to show you the gospel or to teach you the gospel. And again, if you're interested in learning what you must do, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157.
And we're serious about this. We will do all that was within our power to be able to get you the answers that you need from God's Word so that you can lay your head down on your pillow and know that if you are to reach the last beat of your heart, that you will be found in Christ. And he'll be able to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. This is something not to guess about. And this question is something to not listen to preachers about. You need to see what God's Word has to say. Because when we stand before him, no one's going to be holding your hand. And if Jesus is not your mediator and you're not in Christ, then you will very well be in trouble. We must be in Christ if we are to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you so much for listening today. Again, make certain that you call for that information, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm reading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading,
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.